Welcome to Direct Line with Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler. Direct Line, religious topics without preaching, mixing politics and religion and not shying away from controversy. You're not going to find all your answers, but you will always find an opinion. This is Direct Line. And now your hosts, Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler.
Well, good morning. This is Direct Line.
And yes.
I don't usually open up, so here I am, and I don't know what I'm going to say, but it is March 27th.
Yes.
It's the Wednesday of Holy Week.
Yes.
We've already had some good conversations off air.
I still think that the conversation before and during the breaks should be recorded somehow, most of the time.
Well, actually, I mean, I was just asking you questions about questions that I had about Holy
that
Week.
That I can't answer. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And some things that we're going to be talking about on Sunday
yeah.
at Easter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, sometimes I think you hear the Easter story and you think, oh, I've heard that so many times, and
right.
we have. But then something strikes you and you think, oh, I don't know the answer to that, and I
right.
don't know how that happened. So
right.
anyway, you didn't really give me a total answer, but you...
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one of the questions I had is I am the way we do Easter at the arena is I have about a 15-minute slot to speak,
right.
and then Kylie Garrison, our next-gen pastor, teaching pastor, uh-huh. has about a 15-minute slot to speak. So I'm starting with John 11. John 11 is when Jesus finds out that his good friend Lazarus is very sick,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't come right away, and
mm-hmm.
Lazarus dies, and
mm-hmm.
he's buried, and, you know, Jesus shows up in mm-hmm. Bethany, and do you remember Martha's reaction?
If you would have been here.
She's ticked.
Yeah.
She's angry.
If
and of course, Jesus, you know, is Jesus. So he,
right.
spoiler alert, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But my question for my friend Brian Johnson from the Bible Bistro podcast,
yes.
he's my Gospel of John expert,
okay.
is when you read the Gospel of John, that narrative is literally right before
right.
the triumphal entry in Holy Week.
Right.
But can we draw the conclusion that this happened like the week before or the month before? Because a lot of people, I think, believe that when John wrote his gospel, it was much later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke was written,
okay.
and that he wasn't always writing it chronologically.
Hmm.
You know, you've got the clearing of the temple,
mm-hmm.
Jesus turning over the tables
mm-hmm.
during Holy Week
mm-hmm.
in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in John, it's early. It's like chapter 2. And I think that there is thought that John is not necessarily writing everything in chronological order. He's telling an account of the ministry, the earthly ministry mm-hmm. and life of Jesus Christ.
Why did I think that Jesus raising Lazarus was part of what caused people to be upset and mad?
Well, that is the point that he made, is he said, you can draw that conclusion. He said, no, I can't tell you it was, you know, the Friday before
right.
the triumphal entry. He said his best guess would be that it was a couple weeks or maybe a month before. But you read the tension that after Lazarus is raised from the dead, the crowds are going crazy
right.
and the religious leaders are saying, we got trouble.
Mm-hmm.
We got
mm-hmm.
a problem. So I'm going to call Brian, and I'm going to ask him your question, which is a very good question. So
does Brian answer you when you call?
He'll answer or call back, because he's a busy guy,
right.
you know?
Right.
So we'll see.
Right.
But I think it's a great question. And do you want to save your question maybe for later, or do you want to talk about your question on air?
No, because I'm going to talk about that on
okay,
Sunday.
Okay, so we'll
Easter.
Save that.
We'll
we won't go
question.
Down
maybe
that road.
Maybe we can talk about it next week. But
that's a great segue mm-hmm. into one of the things I want to talk with you about today. And, you know, today's going to be kind of a boring show. It's just you and me and Garrett. We don't have any flashy guests in studio. I actually wanted it that way because mm-hmm. I want to lean into Holy
sure.
Week. I've told you before that I think one of the weaknesses in our tribe, we do Easter really good.
Mm-hmm.
We put a lot of resources. At Second Church,
mm-hmm.
we put a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
into Easter. And I'm on board for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we really do justice to the entirety of Holy Week. And so, mm-hmm. and maybe we do, maybe we don't. I think we're rectifying that somewhat this year with a Monday-Thursday service and a good Friday. We always do a good Friday service.
Right.
Yesterday for the Oasis Bible study, we looked at what happened on Monday of Holy Week.
Okay.
What happened on Tuesday of Holy Week. But the Bible Bistro podcast released an episode a week ago, and it's the best thing they've done, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Now, we've had Ryan and Brian on Direct Line
right.
a couple times, but they interviewed my theology professor from my days at Lincoln Christian College and Seminary, a guy by the name of John Castelline. And I have shared that link on my Facebook page. I'm going to share it again.
Mm-hmm.
It is really must listen in a lot of ways, because John Kastelein, Dr. John Kastelein, probably the most brilliant person that I've ever studied with.
Wow.
I mean, you want to talk about being out of your league. I mean, from the moment I sat down in his class, he is just in a different area code. And yet, in this podcast, he tells a story and really confesses a lifelong struggle with doubt. And a lot of people, one person said to me, I don't know how to take that podcast. And I think how I take that podcast is that doubt is not a sin.
Right.
But at the same time, you should not necessarily just suppress your doubts, but you should lean into them. And, you know, his story, and I think the title of the podcast is A Journey of Doubt and Faith. And I don't want to give it all away, but Steph, it is a happily ever after story. And I think I heard the most brilliant man I've ever studied with say, intellect is awesome, but at the end of the day, finding just the faith of a child changed everything.
Can you give us a little hint about what the story is without
giving
it
away?
Yeah, and
so, you know, he's a guy that was raised in Belgium. He's a guy that had many people pour into him. He's got his PhD from the University of Chicago.
Okay.
And these are people, many of them, that you could call Bible scholars, but they had embraced a very liberal view of Christianity and the Bible. The Bible's not necessarily to be accepted as literal,
okay,
that the miracles of the Old Testament, they probably didn't really happen, you know,
okay,
that
these were his professors.
These were people
learning
that he'd
okay
studied with and that okay had poured into him. And so he's teaching at Lincoln. Lincoln's a conservative Bible college.
Right.
And he's got this struggle because they're raising questions and he's wrestling with them.
Hmm.
But he's a man of integrity and he doesn't want to, you know, take some dope like me that doesn't know much and, you know, pour that into me. And I think it created, I don't want to give it all away, but it created through some really storms of life that happened, a time where he said, I don't know that I'm even a believer anymore.
Hmm.
And
while he was at Lincoln?
No, after he retired.
Okay.
He wouldn't do it while he was at Lincoln. I think he was wrestling with that
okay
while he was at Lincoln.
Okay.
But after he retired, his wife contracted ALS. It was just a really hard time.
Hmm.
And I think he said he hadn't prayed in years, stopped taking communion, stopped singing worship songs, and announced, you know, I'm no longer a believer.
Wow.
And it was a very simple act. His wife, when she was dying of ALS, was completely helpless without him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had her in their bathtub, and he's bathing her, and he's washing her feet. And he realizes at that point, no one's going to make up a story about a son of God washing his disciples' feet. If you're going to make up a story, you know, it's the son of God's going to come and take down the Romans.
Hmm.
But that's when it hit him. Jesus is real.
Hmm.
He is the Son of God. Hmm. He did wash his disciples' feet. Hmm. And again, I call it a happily ever after story, but it's an hour and 20 minutes. I've listened to it a couple times. I made my wife listen to it on our way to Kansas City, and it's just really moving. So I love the Bible Bistro guys. I think they do a great job, and we need to get them back on. They've done some recording at Second Church in the past, but I think it's a great way during Holy Week to really lean in. You know, for a lot of people, this is spring break week and there's trips, and that's all good. I love all that. My wife's in Kansas City with Jordan and Janner and Jacob. But I think for me, my prayer all along, can we just slow down? Can I slow down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've tried to be in the Word more this week than I have, not just for sermon prep, not just for Good Friday prep, but just really allowing, you know, the Word of God, and especially the events of Holy Week to
so
minister.
If someone wants to listen to this episode,
yeah,
where can they find it?
I'm going to link it.
Okay.
You can go to the Bible Bistro website, which is, I think, BibleBistro.com, but I'm going to link it again on my Facebook page, and those guys do a good work, and it's not this week's episode. This week's episode's about the resurrection, which is very appropriate, but it's last week's episode. It would have dropped on March 19th, and it's pretty good stuff, so check it out.
Sounds like it.
Yep. Hey, let's go to break. When we come back, I got some news stories that I want to talk about. You're a shopping machine, Stephanie. You love to shop. Is that right?
I love a deal.
Do you have shopping plans for Sunday?
No.
Good.
I'm going to be a little busy on Sunday.
You're going to be busy. You're listening to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, March 27, and we will be right back. Hans Tank Wash is proud to support the Women's Care Clinic. Let's hear now from Interim Co-Director Mariah Hansen.
Women's Care Clinic in Danville provides the love and support every woman deserves during pregnancy. The best news is all our services are free. Free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds for pregnancy confirmation, and even free consultations with medical professionals. And that's not all. We offer parenting education, mentoring for moms and dads, and help with adoption planning. We also work closely with many community agencies for all the support our families need. More than anything, Women's Care Clinic offers hope, compassion, and care to our clients of every age and background. We'd love to have you join us. To learn more, volunteer, or make a gift, visit danvillewcc.org or call 217-431-0987. Women's Care Clinic in Danville, changing lives one decision at a time.
Hi, I'm Linda Darby, and I'm part of the third generation of Darbys to own Sunset Funeral Home and Memorial Park. Since the 1960s, our family has been proud to serve Vermilion County by providing unmatched dedication and personalized service to families.
And I'm Ross Darby. I'm part of the fourth generation in our family business. I want to introduce you to Hall of Fame plaques and signs. We promise to provide you with the same level of service at our sign shop that you've grown accustomed to at our funeral homes and cemetery. With a name like Hall of Fame,
it's gonna be great!
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Well, welcome back to Direct Line. It is Wednesday. I almost said Thursday. Wednesday, March 27. And do you realize that today, in 1667, the book Paradise Lost was published by John Milton. Did you have to read that in college?
No.
See, that was a must read for me when I was in college. And anyway, that has nothing to do with what I want to talk about. But we're so glad that you've joined us today on Direct Line. It's just Steph and I and Garrett, the sound guy, for the morning. We're going to spend time toward the end of the show. I want to talk about some of the events of Holy Week that don't get a lot of press. Okay. We talk a lot about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper and Jesus washing his disciples' feet. We're going to have a Monday-Thursday service this week. Obviously, we talk about the beating and the death of Jesus that happened on Friday. Mm-hmm. By the way, love the new song that we're ending Good Friday with. Is it the Phil Wickham song? Mm-hmm. Never heard. Is it a new song?
It was new last year, the week before Easter it came out.
Okay, I love it. It asks the question, why do we call it good? Phil Wickham's
Friday
pretty
is good,
good,
but Sunday is coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a famous sermon. Tony Campolo made that phrase famous years ago. I think it goes back before him. But I just, listening to that song at Good Friday practice, I just thought, that is really well done. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil Wickham has really written some great songs that we've leaned into, you know.
For sure.
And that's been good
stuff.
We're
opening with a Phil Wickham song for Easter, believe.
I believe, yeah. So. And then the one we've been singing, Trust in God, is that Phil Wickham or not?
No, that's Elevation.
Okay. Okay. All right. But anyway, I want to look at what happened on Monday. You know, what happened on Tuesday of Holy Week? And the cool thing about the way the Gospels are written is, you know, they pretty much tell us this is what happened on Monday. Right. This is what happened on Tuesday. So we'll do that later in the show. But one of the things with Easter Sunday, being on staff at Second Church, is that we're really all in. Last year, I got home at 3:30, so I don't know what your Sunday afternoon is like. But for me at 3:30, I want the couch, I want something to eat, and a nap, basically, because it's a long day. Yeah. But for a lot of people, you know, it's go to church, maybe it's go out to eat, maybe it's, you know, bring people over and have a meal at your house. But then you've got the rest of the day, and, you know, we live in a world where shopping is a big deal for many people. Mm-hmm. I saw this headline this week, though, major U.S. chains to close on Easter, giving employees the day off. And I really like that. I've got to tell you, though, I am really surprised at that. That's a stunning revelation to me, no pun intended.
Some of them haven't done that before in the past.
Right.
This
it's
is the first
change.
Time that they're doing
it. Right, right. Yeah. So you're not going to Target. I don't know why. That surprises me that Target would make that decision.
Right.
Can't go to Costco. Mm-hmm. Can't go to Sam's Club. Mm-hmm. There's a whole team of stores that have said they're not going to be open. So what do you make of that? Does that surprise you or not?
Yeah, it kind of does surprise me because I think typically Christmas is really the only holiday that people...
Thanksgiving, I think, a lot of stores close.
But sometimes they'll open for the...
Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, Thanksgiving night. So,
right.
It is a little bit surprising, but maybe it's positive. Can I tell you what I found positive this week in Walmart?
Give it to me.
I was down in Princeton.
I've seen it, yeah.
I was down in Princeton, Indiana with my mom, and Jesus, these little stuffed Jesuses were right at the front of the store with the Easter Bunny. But I was surprised that someone hasn't said, this offends me, get this out of here. And I was pleased that he was there. You could buy your stuff. And I did. I bought a little Jesus. I'm going to send it to my grandkids.
Well, I want to give you props because, you know, our friend and boss, Dale Daniil, said we need to, you know, improve just team camaraderie. Not that there's anything wrong, but just, you know, fun stuff. And he introduced a duck
duck hunt.
Yeah, that, you know, whatever, you know.
You had to be there like at the crack of dawn to find these ducks.
Well, we were on the air when there was
no chance for us to find a duck.
But you've tried to reintroduce the spirit of game.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't got a text yet today.
I haven't done it yet today.
Okay.
So I'm hiding Jesus throughout our building.
Find Jesus and get a prize.
And really what I love is that someone texts back in the thread, and I found Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm like, praise God, you found Jesus.
What a great text. And the prize yesterday was Junior Mints.
And a nerd rope.
Oh. Well, so you can keep your nerd rope, but I love
Tanya
Junior Mints.
Tanya Ward found Jesus yesterday.
Yes.
He was in a crib in the nursery with the Junior Mints and a nerd rope, and she ate the nerd rope immediately. So each day, the sweet treats will get incrementally better.
But can I tell you, Junior Mints are one of the real underrated candies
you
in
like
America.
Them?
I don't like them. I love them.
You love Junior Mints?
Probably, if I've got to consume, I don't have to, if I decide to consume...
Chocolate,
Junior Mints
sugar.
Are at the very, very top of it. Because you get the chocolate, but then you get the really sweet mint. It's like a beautiful combination. Kind of like a Girl Scout cookie, a thin mint Girl Scout cookie.
Right.
So I'm trying not to do any of that right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get myself under control when it comes to the sweets.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give you props for the Junior Mints.
I'm trying to do this team building thing.
Right.
I mean, it's just like... I'm giving everybody a fair shot because it happens about in the middle of the day, so you don't have to be an early riser.
Yeah.
So
now you were in Princeton, Indiana. That seems like an odd place to spend the weekend. Why were you in Princeton, Indiana?
That's where my mom and dad grew up, and my mother's childhood friends, they all turned 80 this year, and so they had a birthday party
for the
four or five of them that turned 80. But anyway, we were shopping down there, and I was almost giddy with excitement that I found this Jesus.
Yeah. How much was Jesus?
He was $16.99, I think. But he's the cutest little stuff. He's got little sandals, and he just is cute.
So here's the question. Is Jesus in Danville at Walmart?
I don't
know.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm
pleased.
That
would be a great gift,
It would be.
It's not really baby Jesus.
It's not a baby Jesus.
Right.
It's a grown.
Yeah. Right.
But he's cute and little, and your grandson needs one.
I may have to make a Walmart trip.
Mine is going to get sent to Florida after the games are done.
So here's
the
question. Yeah. Which one gets it? Or do they have
to share Jesus?
That's a good principle, though.
Exactly.
Jesus is
for everyone, and you share Jesus.
Just amazing. I love it. Hey, on a more serious note, a more somber note, also in the Christian Post on Monday, there was an article, Christians in India Facing Surge in Attacks Ahead of Elections. Mm-hmm. And Prime Minister Modi, who I have talked about. He's not one of my favorite people.
Right.
I'll just tell you now.
He could stop this. He could end
He could this. Stop the shenanigans tomorrow.
Right.
You know, he says he could not, but he absolutely could. But he and his ruling party, they are really, you know, we talk about Christian nationalists. They are Hindu nationalists. Mm-hmm. And they really believe that if you are in India, you need to be a Hindu. And if you're not... trouble may come your way, and that's just karma. That's just the reality. And so, you know, in our church, on our mission team, we actually support two different missions in India. We, for a long time, have supported Mid-India Christian Mission of Vivert Lal and his team. And then this last year, we picked up the Kuki Christian Church. Mm-hmm. That's a tribe of people, K-U-K-I, in northeast India. And it was very timely that we started supporting them because they have faced, for the last 10 months, really genocide, being forced out of the city of Imphal and the state of Manipur. I share this with you. Anything about the article that you wanted to bring up?
Well, I thought even more than just killing people, and they won't let them be buried.
Right. I mean, it's just horrific.
It's just, it's just
it's sending a message that you need to be a Hindu. And if you are not a Hindu, bad things are going to come your way, and we're not going to do anything about it.
Right.
Now, Prime Minister Modi wouldn't say that out loud, but that is in essence what's happening. And like in Manipur, they could have shut that down day one.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going on to some extent.
Right.
And so here's the reason I share that article, though, is I want people to pray for Christians in India. 2.5% of the population in India. India is now the largest country in the world population-wise. They're ahead of China. 2.5% of the people are Christian. I think about 4% are Muslim. 83%, 82% are Hindu. So I want you to pray for Christians and missions. But I also want to just give a shout out to the generosity of Second Church of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
We took up our Palm Sunday offering. We do two special offerings every year. And right now, our Palm Sunday offering is nearing $42,000.
Wow.
Which means
on
that,
top of our regular offering.
That's on top of a very good general fund Sunday.
That's amazing.
And one third of that money will go to the Kuki Christian Church Mission. One third of that will go to IDES. We do a big event at the end of April every year where we do this IDES food pack.
What does IDES stand for?
IDES stands for International Disaster Emergency Services.
Right.
Ed Sanow, who we need to get Ed on Direct Line. I just thought about that. He would be a great guest on Direct Line, but he is part of the IDES team. They literally go where they're is trouble.
Right.
If there are floods that are taking place, you know, in Myanmar, they go in with resources.
Right.
And one of the things we're going to do on April 27, Saturday, April 27, is we're going to do an emergency food pack, and we will pack 60,000 meals.
Right.
But we got to pay for it.
Right.
And so the special offering will help with that. And then Easter at the Arena will get one
third.
What
a generous congregation. They have always been generous.
And I got to confess, I'm embarrassed to say this. As I was driving in, I thought, you know, it's the start of spring break. I know it's ton of people that are gone. My wife is gone.
Right.
And we didn't have a great Sunday attendance-wise. We were definitely down a little bit. And I thought, man, probably not a great day to do a special offering. We have never had a day like that since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the most generous, and it's not over yet. People are still giving to it. So we serve a very generous church, and that's really good news.
Thank you. And I'm glad that some of that's going to go to India.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so, pray for the people that are in India. Lift them up, because it is not good news. Last article, going to do this real quickly. West Virginia and Utah have both passed laws recently protecting religious freedom.
Why do we need to pass another law to protect religious freedom? I don't understand
that.
Don't we have religious freedom?
That's a great question. But again, you've got cases where people are exercising what they are saying are their religious rights, and they're being sued. Their businesses are being forced to go out of business.
So this is like just an extra law on top of...
This is an extra layer saying... You have religious freedom.
Yes.
Your freedoms cannot be taken from you. And I think you're going to see more and more of that in some states. I mean,
so not all states have this.
Well, all states have the Bill of Rights. All states have, you know, the Constitution.
Right.
But I think it all depends on how do you interpret that.
Okay.
And do you have the right as a Christian business owner to say, I can't travel down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get specific today during Holy Week, but that's a bridge too far. That violates my religious conscience would be the word.
Mm-hmm.
And in some states, you can do that. And in other states, they're saying, absolutely not. We're coming after you with both barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll call out the state of Colorado. You know, the state of Colorado for years was called a purple state. You know, they weren't a red state. They weren't a blue state.
Mm-hmm.
They have been... just punitive in the way that they have went after people like Jack Phillips and others. And I think you're going to see more and more of this. We live in a time of divisiveness, and it's an election year in 2024. And Steph, I think you're going to have more of that, not less of that, moving
forward. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
It is.
So every state has, I mean, not every, they can pass this.
They could.
It's all called.
They absolutely could. Now, you couldn't pass that in the state of Illinois if you tried to right now, just the way the legislature is made up. And even if you passed it, I don't think the governor would sign it. But I will not be surprised if we don't see the Hoosier state, the state of Indiana, go down this road, especially after the gubernatorial election. So
but this does not say that Illinois is not part of that, does it?
Say that
again. It says the states lacking protections are, and it lists the states. And Illinois doesn't say, it doesn't say that Illinois is in that.
It does not. But again, I think it depends on how militant, how aggressive are your states. And there are some that are getting more and more aggressive.
Well, let's talk about this one.
Yeah, real quick, before we go to break, introduce it.
Hot cross buns. In the United Kingdom, I guess there's a big uproar about the hot cross buns because somebody took the cross off the... Hot check mark buns.
Right.
And so.
And it's being interpreted by some Christian leaders as anti-Christian as we move into the Holy Week season.
Well, first of all, I think it's a minor thing to get upset about. But my point is, in this article, it says this company
did it
based on that 1/5 of their customer base wanted the check mark.
Right.
Why would you ever make a decision based on 1/5? What about the 4/5 that like it?
Could I just say Bud Light?
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I went to college, but I don't have a business degree. Yeah. But
it's kind of marketing 101, right?
Yeah, why would you cater to your
1/5? What I would call that? I'd call that an unforced error. Although, I got to tell you, as I look at this picture, you ought to post this article a little bit later today. As I look at that, I don't think of a cross when I see that. I don't know.
It just looks like some icing.
Have
you ever had a hot cross bun?
I don't think I have.
I haven't either.
Can you get them around here?
I don't know.
Why don't you do some research?
Garrett, do you know anything about hot cross buns? He doesn't know either.
Yeah. Well, why don't you do some research on your spare time this week?
Okay.
You can come back and let us know.
I have a lot of spare time.
I do agree with you. I look at companies that make choices like this based on a small minority that might not like it. And I just wonder, have you really thought through
the ramifications? Why wouldn't you just do some hot cross buns with the cross on it? And if you want to do some check marks too.
Have them side by side and you can pick check mark or cross.
Right.
What would you pick?
I might pick one of each.
I think I'd pick whichever one has more icing. You know, I'd kind of try to measure it out and see what has more icing.
Yeah.
Let's stop this segment right now and go to break. When we come back, we're going to thank our awesome sponsors. We're going to talk about some events that are coming up in March and April at Second Church. And then I want to do something we don't do much on Direct Line. I want to look at some of the text of the events of Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week. You're listening to Direct Line. It's Wednesday, March 27. Greg and Steph will be right back after this.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermillion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments. And he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Marty LLC. Member SIPC.
This is Deanna from the Witzel Family McDonald's. Our family and staff enjoy being a part of your family's lives. From a stop at McDonald's on your way to work or planning a lunch with friends or coworkers, we understand
you need quick and friendly service with hot and fresh food. I'm Don Witzel. We strive to fill that need every day. Whether you're on your way
home from school or work, the Witzel Family McDonald's are waiting to serve you an afternoon snack or family dinner. This is Rob Witzel, along with my wife Haley. We're thrilled to now be serving
our customers in Covington, Indiana. As a member of the family, we're
proud
of
the team's commitment to all of our customers and communities of the Witzel Family McDonald's in Covington, Danville, Georgetown, Hoopston, and Oakwood. This is Jason Spencer. Along with my wife, Katie, we invite you to
stop
by
your favorite Witzel Family McDonald's today. At McDonald's, we're a part of every community.
Now is a great time to join the Witzel Family McDonald's team. Competitive compensation, flexible hours, and locations across the area make McDonald's a smart choice. Apply today at mchire.com. That's mchire.com. Joining the Witzel Family McDonald's team is only a click away.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Well, welcome back to Direct Line, Wednesday, March 27. We are smack dab in the middle of Holy Week, and we could not do Direct Line week in, week out without some incredible sponsors. We just started year 5. That is hard to believe, and I think we've come a long way in 4 years and 3 weeks. And so a lot of fun week in, week out. Steph, who are we saying thank you to?
Chris and Daisha Robinson with Robinson Chiropractic, the team at Hans Tank Wash, Dean and Gina Crandall with Morgan Stanley, Bill and Mary Lou Knight with Lakewood Insurance, Don and Deanna Witzel with McDonald's, and the Darby family with Sunset Funeral Home.
And we have kind of talked about this already, but just real quickly, run down the Holy Week worship service opportunities that people have Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Right. Thursday night, 6 o'clock in our Next Gen Auditorium is our Maundy Thursday service, and that's going to focus on communion and be about 35, 40 minutes long.
Yeah. Friday. Can't go real long because I got to be in the prison by 7 o'clock.
I know, we have to get you out of there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Good Friday, 6 o'clock in our main auditorium service is our Good Friday service, which we have done for many years. Thursday is the first time, so we don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
We may not have many show up.
I think we're going to have a good number. I really do.
Tell me how many you want me to plan for communion, because I got to cut up the communion bread tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could see 100 to 125, which I think is a good turnout, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. We've done a good job pushing it, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we always excel at communication. I think every church would probably say that. But I there's been the constant contact email. There's been the public. We've talked on direct line. So I'm optimistic. So we'll see.
We invite people if you attend another church or if you don't attend church, come for the Maundy Thursday
service. Now, can I tell you, my daughter, you know, they help lead an Anglican church, and Maundy Thursday is a staple every year. And she asked me on the phone, she calls me every morning on her way to work at 5:15. And she said, who's going to be doing the foot washing? And I said, well, we're not doing foot washing this year. And I could sense there was a little disappointment in her voice that we weren't going to be doing foot washing.
Because
many Maundy Thursday services include foot washing. That's believed to be when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, John 13.
And why are you not so keen on doing that?
Well, I do. I think it'd be awesome. But I think year one, let's focus on the institution of the Last Supper.
Well, and lots of people who come to our Good Friday service might expect communion because we've always taken communion on Good Friday, but we are not this year on Good Friday. We are taking communion together on Holy Week on Thursday.
I don't want to give it away, but you let me be a part of Good Friday practice last night. Yeah. Very scripture heavy.
Yes.
Very worship heavy, but not a, you know,
not contemporary
rock and roll Jesus worship. No. You know, very I would almost call somber. I don't know if that's a word you would use or not, but sober.
Yeah.
I love how it ends. We're doing a tenebrae service where, you know, the living illustration that you're experiencing is it gets darker and darker and darker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Good Friday's the message of Good Friday is the light of the world was seemingly extinguished.
Extinguished, right.
Now, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming.
Sunday's coming.
So, but it's going to be. I'm probably as excited about Good Friday as any service
this week. I am. I mean, I do think that we do Good Friday pretty well.
Yes,
I mean,
I agree.
It's a little bit more artistic feel. It's it's not so much that you're participating and singing every song with us, but you are listening and hopefully listening and focusing on the words and what happened.
So
I love Good Friday service. Yeah.
And then
Sunday,
Easter at the Arena.
Yeah, if you don't have a place to worship, we invite you to come with us. 10 o'clock.
It's going
to
be a great day. And again, I think this is the biggest week of the year for every church. Should be the biggest week of the year for every church. And if you have a church, if you're loosely connected with a church, get there. Be a part of the services that take place. If you do not have that connection for whatever reason, we'd love to have you join us at the Palmer Arena. Right. It's a service like none other, and really excited about the time.
Let me ask you the question. As a pastor and your wife and your kids were growing up, did you guys do Easter baskets?
We did. Yeah.
Okay. I did not.
We did. We
never did.
Yeah. And again, you know, I've always wrestled with the secular versus the sacred, you know. I don't know if I had it to do over again, if we would. But when my kids were little, I worked at Lincoln Christian College and Seminary for 7 years. And so we were a family on Easter Sunday morning. You know, we were together and it was really a special time. Well, I accepted a preaching ministry in 2006. And, you know, Jordan would have been 10 at that time. Peyton was 7. And most of my Easter Sunday mornings, I was out the door while it was still dark, very early in the morning, you know. And so really, that Easter Sunday morning, I didn't have that kind of intimate time with my family.
We never did. Our kids were little. We were just trying to get out the door.
Right, absolutely,
I don't think there's anything wrong with having Easter baskets, but I was just curious.
But you know, the cool thing about it is we lived in the same house for 20 years in Chestnut, Illinois, the geographic center of the state of Illinois. and our neighbors, Betty and Fox, became like a third set of grandparents. Uh-huh. And that became a time where it was Marla, Jordan, and Peyton, and Betty and Fox.
Uh-huh.
And, I was thankful that there were people that kind of stepped in and were a part of that.
That's
so
neat.
Good stuff. And then one last thing I want to throw in there. Donna Danielle's bringing back the Ladies Spring Brunch. It's not a luncheon. Right. It's a brunch on Saturday, April 13, 10 to noon. You're going to sing with your daughter and Jake Weiss's aunt's flying up from Texas. And it's going to be a good time. So get your tickets. What is that? $15 a ticket? Is that right? And you call the church at, what is the church number,
217-442-7306.
That magnet has saved you. It's good stuff. Hey, I want to talk about Holy Week. Okay. And so I want to focus on the Tuesday of Holy Week primarily. On Monday of Holy Week, I think that's believed when Jesus cursed the fig tree, overturned the tables in the temple. Mm-hmm. But it's on Tuesday that we really see a lot happening when you read through the synoptics especially. And it hit me in preparing for Oasis. I think I know the moment that the religious leaders said, we've got to kill him. Now, they'd been speculating for some time, saying that this is not, and I think it was a specific parable that he told, and I think he told it about them. So I want to read this. This is Matthew 21, 28 to 32, and I want you to see if you think this as well. So here's what Jesus says. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir, but he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. And I think that's when they decided. And here's why. Before this happened, they had come to him and they had asked him a question, by what authority are you teaching? By what authority did you raise Lazarus from the dead? By what authority are you doing the things that you're doing? And he said, I will answer your question if you answer my question. So Jesus followed their question with a question. And he said, John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it of man? Well, they huddled together and they say, well, you know, if we say that it's from heaven, we didn't get baptized, and it would condemn us. But if we say it's just for man, all the people around us followed after John, and you know they're going to be angry with us, and they may riot. I mean, I think it's believed that there might have been 50,000 people in Jerusalem during Holy Week. Hmm. And so they come back to Jesus, and they're like, we're not sure. We're not going to answer. And Jesus is like, well, then I'm not going to answer your question either, but let me tell you a parable. But it's that phrase, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. And I could be way off on this, but I think that's the moment that sealed the deal. And they said, this guy's got to go.
And it was the Pharisees that were asking him this?
Well, this is the chief priests.
The chief priests were asking him?
And the teachers of the law. I mean, this is the hierarchy.
The big ones.
There's this
the big
religious
wigs.
Hierarchy, and this is the big dogs. And, you know, they think they're going to get Jesus by asking him this question, mm-hmm. where do you get this authority?
Right.
And, you know, he stumped them. It's also a reminder, I told Oasis this, we don't have to engage in every argument right. that someone brings our way. Hmm. Every ministry I've had, including this ministry, there are people that want to grab the most random, far out, bizarro question that they have mm-hmm. and try to back you into a corner to try to expose Christianity as not being true or expose the Bible as being unreliable. And I'll tell you, that used to really stress me when I was in my 30s. Spent a lot of time trying, how can I answer this question? And, you know, how can I do Jesus justice? How can I do God's word justice? And I realized that some people, they just have impure intentions. Doesn't mean that, you know, I have to return it with vitriol, but Jesus just asked them a question. You know, that's not on your handout, by the way, if you're trying to find that part of it. But it hit me. I think this is the time. So what do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Pretty harsh words.
They are
Pharisees and the tax collectors are entering the kingdom ahead of you. So just turn to Jesus.
It's hopeful, though.
It is.
It's hopeful.
It is.
That the tax collectors and the prostitutes can get in before the spiritual bigwigs.
It's not about the stuff that we do. It's not about my heritage. You know, it's not about how much I have in my bank account. It's not about doing good works.
So
it's about trusting Jesus.
So the two boys, the one said, I will not go work,
but
later he did. The second one, I will, but he didn't.
Right.
Well, obviously,
what's Jesus saying?
That's not good.
Right. Neither are a model, but I think what Jesus is saying is the person that initially rejects and then does what they're supposed to warms the heart of God more so than the person that says, oh yeah, I'll
do
that.
And
then they never do.
That's hypocritical.
It's a parable against the chief priests and the teachers of the law.
Gotcha.
He's basically saying, you guys are saying all the right things, mm-hmm. but you are rejecting the Son of God.
Okay.
And
makes
so
more sense now.
Here's what I hope. I hope there's people that this week, mm-hmm. whether at Second Church or at another church, mm-hmm. will finally say, mm-hmm. I'm going to trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my life to Jesus.
You know, I think our friend Tanner.
Tanner Brown.
Brown's wife that just,
I Kirsten.
Mean, I say this because I saw it on Facebook. She put it out publicly, how many years spent, you know, not in a relationship with Jesus, but then saw the difference in her husband's life after he accepted Christ and now has surrendered her life to Jesus. So, yeah, I hope people who have said, I'm not interested, not for me, you might want to take a second look.
Absolutely. And I don't think there's any better day than Easter Sunday.
For sure. Do you know that there's two little ones that are thinking about getting baptized?
I did not.
Two little girls. They may not. They
may
not make that. That's a big stage and a big place to do that. But I do believe that, you know, the Bible tells us you need to have childlike faith. And
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be awesome if children were what started
the
flow of baptisms?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, let's go to break. When we come back, I've got two more stories that I want to talk about. Not stories, mm-hmm. two more texts that I want to talk about. One involving taxes. Tax time is almost here. You're listening to Direct Line, Wednesday, March 27. We'll be right back after this.
Introducing Aunt Bee. She is Sunset's new comfort dog. Not only will she comfort our guests, but she will also answer questions regarding youth and funerals. I'm Judy Fraser. I would suggest that you email Aunt Bee today.
Did you know that by planning your funeral or cremation ahead of time, you can lock in today's prices and make affordable monthly payments? I'm Judy Fraser, and if pre-planning is on your mind, I would suggest that you make just one phone call, Sunset Funeral Homes and Cremation Centers.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermillion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments. And he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Marney LLC. Member SIPC.
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Welcome back to Direct Line. It's Stephanie and Greg on Wednesday of Holy Week, and you've got another story, parable,
I do.
Scripture you want to talk about?
How are you at reading? Would you want to read it
sure.
for us? It's from
are
Matthew
any big words
22.
That I don't know?
Oh, I think you'll be okay.
I think I know these words.
You can say Caesar, right?
Uh-huh.
The Herodians?
I think
yes,
I can
okay.
say it.
There
All
you
right.
go.
So this is Matthew 22:15-22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. And then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And when they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away.
And so they're trying, you know, they've had this terrible encounter where, you know, they're so angry because Jesus has said the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to heaven ahead mm-hmm. of you. Mm-hmm. And then they try another account and they want to trap him because most of the people deeply resented paying taxes. And can I remind you, April 15 is coming.
So we're not much yeah. different from the people back
so
then.
So have you taken care of your taxes?
Yeah, mine are done.
I haven't done a thing. Oh. I woke up thinking, I got to do this. I got to get on it. But you know, they're trying to trap Jesus. What I find amazing about this is he doesn't even have a coin. I mean, he has no money on him. And he says, "Show me a coin."
I never thought about that.
And they grab the coin.
Do you think Jesus ever had money on him in his wallet?
We don't read about that. I think he probably did not have a wallet. But I'm guessing
he probably had a bag.
Didn't, you know?
Well, those women went along. Weren't they the ones?
There were people that cared for him and took care of him. Yeah, but I'm guessing more times than not, he did not. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is he said, you know, whose inscription's on it? Mm-hmm. You give to Caesar what's Caesar's. You give to God what is God's. He doesn't really answer their question. Hmm. You know, they're wanting a direct question because I think they're thinking if Jesus says, "Hey, you don't have to pay taxes," man, that's going to be a message that we can all get behind.
Right.
But he won't go down that road. Now, here's why I love that text specifically in 2024. We're in the election mm-hmm. season already. And there are so many people that have concluded it has to be this one or it has to be this party or everything's, you know, gonna go crazy. Mm-hmm. And I have opinions on, you know, political perspective and who I'm gonna vote for mm-hmm. and all of that. But I think the message that Jesus is saying, you know, first and foremost, you give to God what is God's. And I think in the next text that we're gonna look at, which is a little bit later in Matthew 22, we see what truly matters most. Mm-hmm. Am I going to watch election night? I am. Am I going to go to the polls on the first Tuesday in November and vote? I am. I think it's actually the second Tuesday this year, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what I can. But whoever's elected, whatever party is in control, when we wake up that Wednesday morning, in my opinion, Jesus is still going to be Savior and Jesus is still going to be Lord. So
I'm not going to get involved in all the...
You're not doing it, huh?
I mean, I'm going to vote. I'm
right.
Just, but I'm just not. Sometimes right. I've gotten wrapped up right. into like
yep. It's easy to get sucked into
I'm
it.
I'm not going to do that this
yep.
time.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, third account is what I want to end with today. Mm-hmm. And this is where Jesus is asked a question. And there was a give and take before with the Sadducees. And, you know, he had really kind of shut them down. So why don't you read for us Matthew 22, 34 to 40.
Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
And what's crazy about this is that when they ask him what's the most important commandment in the law, I don't think they were expecting this answer. I think they were thinking about Exodus 20. I think they were thinking about Deuteronomy 5, which is the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. that he was going to say, you know, it's commandment number one or it's commandment number seven or whatever it may be. He doesn't go there. Hmm. He goes first and foremost to Deuteronomy 5, the Shema. And this is a prayer that first century Jews would pray multiple. They'd pray it first thing in the morning when they got up. They'd pray it during the day. They'd pray it when they go to bed at night. And there are modern day Jewish people that still wake up and they pray this prayer, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." But then he adds in a more obscure command from the book of Leviticus. When you think of the book of Leviticus, what do you think
of? A lot of rules.
Snoozeville? Yeah, right, right.
Rules and weird things.
Can I tell you, I love the book of Leviticus. There's mm-hmm. a lot of good stuff mm-hmm. there. But he says, you know, don't forget what it says in Leviticus 19, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so what I think Jesus is saying is it's all important. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll obey my commandments. But he's saying what's most important is love God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself.
It sounds so easy, but why do you think, I mean, that's not what they expected to hear. They wanted something different that was like, I can check this off. Loving your neighbor as yourself is not always easy.
It is unbelievably hard.
Yes.
And yet, I think that's the reminder for Christians today. Now, some have taken love your neighbor as yourself means that you can't stand up for anything and you can't have a belief that might offend a neighbor. I don't think that's at all what Jesus is saying. Jesus was the master at loving people, even if they were tax collectors, even if they were prostitutes, even if they were people on the outside. So, Steph?
I think it's easy sometimes to just check the box and say, I'm going to do this, and that makes me in good graces with God. But really, it's not that. It's not checking boxes.
Well, Stephanie and Garrett, happy Holy Week. Let's make the most of the time that we have. I'm looking forward to Thursday.
Me too.
Friday. We have a prayer time Saturday at 1:30, and then, of course, Easter at the arena. I want to end on a little bit of a somber note. There was this terrible bridge accident that happened yesterday in the Baltimore area. And as I was looking at it, I drove across that bridge probably 10 years ago when I took Peyton out to visit the Naval Academy. But it's just a reminder we are not promised tomorrow. So make the very most of the time that you have. So on Holy Week, on behalf of Steph and Garrett the Sound Guy, this is Greg saying thanks for listening to Direct Line. We'll see you next week, and we'll see you Sunday for Easter at the Arena.